Please thank you for joining us on the 57th episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
We finally hit November. October Woo! Is done. We are done with all of that. And we are back to our standard, not platform, which is what I wrote. We are back to our standard
scheduled programming. I don't know.
Yes, that's correct. This week we're discussing Hatchet and the Babysitter. And for you new listeners, we are a spoiler heavy podcast. So feel free to check these out before continuing. Hatchet is now streaming on Hulu and the Babysitter is on Netflix. It's a Netflix only exclusive. But before we jump into all that, let's get started with a segment that we like to call
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is Draug. I think that's how you say it. I'm going to go with
Nailed
that.
Nailed it.
With a release date of unknown. It's coming out this month in Sweden. It's a Swedish film. So I don't know when we'll get to see it, but I'm excited about the trailer. So I want to talk about it. It's directed by Karen Engman and Klaus Persson and written by Klaus Persson. It's the IMDb summary is, in the 11th century, a missionary goes missing somewhere in the forests bordering the northern parts of Sweden. Among the rescue party chosen to find him is Nana, a young woman on her first real mission and her first return to the part of the country where she was born. But what they will find deep inside those woods is something else entirely. Something dark, something ancient, something evil.
Dun, dun, dun.
That is some summary.
It is.
I like it. I heard about this on, I saw this on the Modern Horrors website and checked it out. And I was like, this is worth talking about, I think.
Yeah. I couldn't tell what I was visually looking at. The whole trailer is very dark. And
is it? Do you need to up your brightness? It wasn't that dark.
It was very dark and monotonous in color.
Okay.
Everything was like a lot of grays, and obviously it was raining, it looked like, or like foggy.
Okay.
I don't know. It was in the woods.
I didn't have that much trouble seeing what was happening.
I could see what was happening. I just don't know what I was looking at, like when the creature thing was like coming out.
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably intentional that we don't.
No, I think so as well.
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying like this, it looked, I would see this movie.
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying anything negative about it.
Oh, I thought you meant like it was too dark for you to see. Like you couldn't see.
It was just a very,
okay, gotcha.
It was a very like, yeah.
Yeah, it takes place a long time ago. And we have, it looks kind of like The Witch almost. At least the time period.
It reminded me of that.
Yeah, it reminds me of The Witch. And then at the end, we have this like, in a tunnel creature crawling moment that was very reminiscent of The Descent. So it was like, if The Witch and The Descent had a baby, I feel like it might be this movie.
I could see it.
I'm kind of into it. And by kind of, I mean really, I will definitely be watching this movie when it is accessible to us in America.
Hopefully it becomes accessible to us in America.
I'm sure it will in one way or another. If Modern Horror's got their paws on a exclusive trailer, that must mean something.
You bring up a good point.
Yeah. They got their paws on it. Someone sent it to them.
Those mitts.
Yeah. Those Modern Horror mitts. Yeah. I'm stoked on it. I don't know. I haven't seen very many Swedish horror films. I have seen a couple.
Like Troll Hunter.
Yeah, that's
or that was
true.
Norwegian, I guess.
Yeah, that's
but
Norwegian.
Scandinavian.
Sure.
Right?
I think we can kind of lump them together due to the small
proximity.
Amount of films that we are receiving from that general region.
Yeah,
I think that's allowed. But yeah, I'm stoked on it. I'll put the trailer link in our notes in case you guys want to watch it. It's not super easy to find otherwise, or you can go on the Modern Horrors website and find it on there. But yeah, Draug, Draug. If you want to try and find it on YouTube, also, I'm stoked on it. All right. Well, let's move on then. We have a full episode. I feel like we have a lot to discuss this episode, so let's get right into it.
All right, so our first movie, we are going to start with Hatchet from 2006, written and directed by Adam Green of Digging Up the Marrow and Frozen fame, not the Disney one.
Not the Disney one.
Just got to specify.
Yeah, in case you're wondering.
Yeah. it's important.
Yeah.
The IMDb summary is, when a group of tourists in a New Orleans haunted swamp tour find themselves stranded in the wilderness, their evening of fun and spooks turns into a horrific nightmare.
Do you want to build a snowman? No.
They do.
Oh, this wrong one.
In Nolens.
Oh, it's in New Orleans. Nolens.
Wrong one.
So... Yes, exactly. I don't know. You're kind of cutting in and out, so I might have missed something funny.
Oh, I was just laughing because it seemed like neither of us wanted to jump in here.
Well, that too. It's I don't know how to start talking about this movie. Okay, so.
I will start by saying I'm not a huge Adam Green fan, but I did see Frozen and I liked it. So my mind is... I wanted to keep my mind open about this movie, especially because of all the other ones that I have access to. But like for the first time in a really long time, the original Hatchet hasn't been available to stream, but now it's on Hulu. So thank goodness. But I did have a little bit of a hard time like getting into this movie.
Yeah, I don't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't this.
Same.
Because really, it's just more like I hear people talking about Hatchet. I don't really know anything about it. So
I don't even hear people talking about Hatchet more so than like Victor Crawley is like the main thing that I hear about. And I was expecting more from this movie. I found the dialogue to be very amateur. Obviously, like filming wise, it wasn't that great. But like...
I didn't realize. I didn't think it was going to be so 2006.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, but
I wasn't sure when it was filmed and when it started. Yeah. I was like, oh, this really wasn't what I was expecting. It's like, it very much looks like 2006. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. If even older,
and it possibly. Looks just like.
I'm not the biggest Adam Green fan either, but I will say this. Dude loves horror movies, and it is apparent. I appreciate that about him. He's obviously a horror fan and isn't afraid to show it, and I appreciate that. I saw Digging Up the Marrow, and I didn't hate it, but I preferred Frozen. I thought Frozen was a better film.
Frozen was great.
Yeah.
And I was expecting to not like it just because of...
Because of Adam Green? Yeah. I mean...
Yep, that's it.
This was, I don't know. It just wasn't what I was expecting, I guess. It's not bad. It's just not, I think there was so much emphasis on gore and like practical effects, which obviously there's a lot of that in this movie. And I really appreciate that. And I could see how this has a giant fan base surrounding it. But the story is hard to grasp, hard for me to appreciate, and but it is very of its time. Like it's just a little too reminiscent of Friday the 13th for me. Like it's not a nod to Friday the 13th. It basically is Friday the 13th. The story is slightly different. It's not different enough for how similar it is.
And I feel like that was kind of always my issue with Eli Roth and Cabin Fever 2 is, or like also, not Cabin Fever 2, is that like, I just remember seeing an interview with him where he was like, oh, I basically just ripped off all of these movies and made this movie, which is like fine. Like you can pay homage for sure. But like, I don't know, like this, I think you're right, is that this movie was too like, was exactly that, exactly Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I agree with you. But there's some good parts too. I mean, we have some actors that you don't see too often, and
we got the Candyman nod. We got Kane Hodder.
We got Tony Todd. We got Kane Hodder. We have Robert Englund.
Yeah.
We have all these people that
are very integral to horror.
Yes, that we love. But we also have we have Ben, a character Ben here from Dodgeball.
Yep.
We also
and Grandma's Boy.
And Grandma's Boy. Marcus.
We also have
Marcus is Kenny from The Cosby Show.
We also have Chick from Addams Family Values.
And of course Harmony from Buffy.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of like recognizable faces in this that make me happy. I love Harmony. I love Buffy. Now I just want to watch Buffy. Can we just go watch a bunch of Buffy?
Yes. That's kind of, I was just like so distracted by like, is it?
Yeah.
I think it is. Yeah. I have to IMDb it.
There was a lot and of, I have to pause and IMDb it real quick.
I didn't even pause. I just went for it. Harmony's Chick from Addams Family Values, by the way.
Oh, is she? I saw that movie like once as a kid. I haven't rewatched it. I know that people absolutely love that movie. And
oh, it's
I'm
phenomenal.
Sure it's great, but I have not revisited it in a very long time. So
she was also like just like Girl Scout in the first one, but then they like brought her back and her name in the second one.
I think I got you.
She's like the bitchy camper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this takes place during Mardi Gras in New Orleans. We have a group of people. Ben, our main character, dodgeball guy, is heartbroken and his friend's trying to cheer him up. And they do this haunted swamp tour because Ben is not into seeing boobs. He's done. He's done with the boobs.
He's over it.
There's a lot of boobs in this movie.
No, thank you.
He says, no way, Jose.
No more boobs.
No. Just say no to boobs. Let's see this haunted swamp tour. Although I appreciate that about Ben. And I'm totally Ben because I'd be like, oh, look at all these people partying and running around having a good time. I want to go on a haunted swamp tour, please.
I would be that person also.
Yeah. Yeah. So actually, I don't know if I want to go on a haunted swamp tour because that consists of a swamp. I don't know if I want to go anywhere near a swamp. But the haunted part is cool. Okay, so they go on this haunted swamp tour. The tour guide.
It's hard to say.
It is hard to say.
Haunted swamp tour.
Haunted swamp tour. The tour guide is, I'm not sure. I'm
an amateur.
Yeah.
to put it mildly.
He's an Asian man. Who has this really fakey New Orleans
He's
accent.
He's got a fancy shirt, too.
And a ruffle orange shirt. A very fake accent. And he doesn't know what he's doing. It's very obvious. The people on the boat know more about New Orleans than he does.
Yeah, but he grabs onto it and he is just, no, I am right. You are wrong.
Yes. Sorry. He stays confident.
He commits.
He does.
He commits.
He does.
He commits to the act.
I mean, this is a comedy, too. It's supposed to be funny. Right? I mean, it is. I thought that it was funny at parts. There was some parts that worked well for me. We got the guy from Office Space, the jump to conclusions guy.
Yes.
When he lost his leg, I was like, that guy's not jumping to any more conclusions on his jump to conclusions map.
Zero more conclusions.
Has different conclusions that you can jump to.
Oh, not anymore.
I love that guy. He's a good guy. I just kept thinking that every time he opened his mouth. I just kept, I'm a people person, damn it. Maybe that's why I found this film so funny, is I just remembered other things the actors did that were funny. And it made me think that they were being funny.
That's what I was thinking of. Exactly. And I was just like, I have to like, no. And then that's all I could think of, like, when I was watching it.
I will
say, though.
Grandma's
Boy and Addams Family and
yeah. I will say, though, for a film of this caliber, the acting's actually really good. The dialogue is silly and ridiculous. But the acting is actually really, really good, I thought. I thought even, like, Harmony. Sorry, I'm going to call her Harmony. I'm just going to do it because
that's okay.
Buffy. Harmony's acting, I thought, was fantastic. Really good reaction acting. Really good fear coming from her.
I felt the fear.
Yeah. Did you feel the fear?
Oozing.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I thought the whole time that the fear was really like believable in a lot of scenes. I was like, that's pretty impressive. Like, that's really good acting. And then come to find out, I have the DVD. I bought it recently. So it had one special feature, and it was a behind the scenes take from the movie. And they were kind of explaining what they were doing. So Adam Green and Kane Hodder, who played Victor Crowley, basically scared the crap out of them like the whole time they were filming. So Kane Hodder would wear this coat over his costume and makeup and like zip it up and put a hood on so you couldn't see his face or anything. So when they were like rehearsing, he would like make his mark so they'd know where he would be, but they have no idea what he would look like.
Right.
And then when they started filming the shots, he would like start growling while he was hiding and like hitting stuff and like really scaring them before. And then when they saw that him for the first time, it was really the first time, you know, like every
That's
scene.
Awesome.
I think the first scene that they filmed was in the cemetery at the end. And so like he was seriously freaking them out, like growling behind tombstones and hitting stuff and making loud noises. And when he jumped out, they like literally got really freaked out to the point where they were like anxious just because they didn't know what to expect and they were building it up so much.
That's awesome.
They even showed it before they filmed the other scene, when the other girl, they have two girls that like to show their breasts a lot. The brown haired girl, I don't know her name. She was
boobs.
Freaking out.
Boobs.
Like
set of boobs one.
Yeah. She was so scared when they were getting ready to film her scene right before she dies that like she was crying because he was like growling. She was like literally like tears. She was freaking out and they showed.
That's amazing.
It's really funny to watch. I'll see if I can find it on YouTube to share because it's hilarious. It's on the DVD also, but so much fun. I just loved it. Like they kept showing it and I'm just like, Kane Hodder is just the best. I just
love
him.
He's phenomenal.
So
yeah.
Much.
Totally.
If he wasn't in this movie, it would be utter garbage, I think.
He is Victor Crowley.
He is Victor Crowley.
Which is why, now it makes sense of why I hear about him, at least.
You know what's
the character.
You know what's really not fair, though, as someone who just finished Downton Abbey, having his name be Victor Crowley?
I've always thought about that also.
I was like, I just finished Downton and it's like Victor Crowley. I'm like, oh no, the lost Crowley cousin.
Yeah.
Never got married. Moved to New Orleans.
To murder.
Yeah. And murder. That's funny if you're into Downton Abbey, I swear. Okay.
So good.
I mean, it was just a lot of, I could tell like they had a lot of fun when they were filming. It just seems like a good time. They even played a joke on the guy that played Ben, who's our main character, because he wasn't spooking easily. Like they were trying to scare him. It wasn't working. So Adam Green and Kane Hodder would have like a private conversation, a quote unquote private conversation, but loud enough so Ben could hear him. And they'd be like, the rubber hatchet, it's not working. No, you want to throw a real one at him? Okay, well, we can do that. And then Ben, he'd be like, wait, are you going to throw a real hatchet? He'd be like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
It's fine.
It's fine. Don't worry
about
it.
You're totally safe.
You
signed the liability, right?
We're going to miss you.
Okay.
We're going to miss you. It's not even going to be a problem. It's going to go right by you. And they hit his leg. He like started limping because he thought he really got hit. I just love it. They obviously just were trying to scare everyone and keep the fear alive on set, which was, I think it helped. That was believable. I thought that was a really great
part. I feel like in a horror movie, like, that's kind of just smart to do.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, totally.
It's fine. You know what you're signing up for, right? To just be scared 100% of the time.
Yeah, right?
All I'm saying.
I just love being able to see that stuff. It just makes it so much more enjoyable. But I mean,
yeah, that's okay. Awesome.
So the story's not there, but let's talk a little bit about the practical effects, which are fantastic.
They did a great job. That makeup artist, special effects artist, did a great job.
Really good kills. There's a lot of, like, faces and heads being torn apart, which is done very well, I thought. A lot of blood spray, things like that.
Effective. Gotta love a good blood spray.
Yeah, it's like a mist of blood coming out of the tops of their heads. Yeah,
thank you.
Carly was just acting like she was in a Neutrogena commercial from 1999. Splash the water on my face. And
thank you.
Oh, it's so refreshing.
Yes, I'm so rejuvenated. That crazy lady from Hostel 2. Yeah.
Exactly like that. Oh, man. Okay, well, let's see what else I got in my notes. I have a lot of stuff, but I mean, I don't want to go through this piece by piece. It's not
one of those movies.
It's really not. I mean, it's very formulaic. It's very, very, very Friday the 13th. And at the end of the movie, they're in a canoe. And there's this soft music playing. And I'm like, okay, so he's going to come up out of the water and grab them.
I totally forgot. Ben, also in Shark Night 3D.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's like the nerdy guy that goes, like, that just keeps trying to have sex with, what's her face?
Yep. I forgot about that.
Me too. And he's the one that, like, is in the swamp and climbs up on the tree and then gets taken out.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's fitting, though.
Just had a sudden flashback.
They're very similar movies. I mean, it's from the same time period and it's the same type of thing.
Yeah.
But there is a part at the end. They're in a canoe. You think they've escaped. You have this soft music playing. And then, you know, Victor Crawley comes out of the water and grabs them. It's 100% Friday the 13th. Anyone who's seen Friday the 13th knows that that's going to happen. You have to know it's going to happen. I mean,
accurate.
I was waiting for it. I was like, okay, this looks exactly like Friday the 13th, just like the rest of the movie, and here we go. And I called the ending with the arm being torn off and the reaching for the... Yeah, I called that too. It was all very predictable. I mean, it's very formulaic.
It is so formulaic.
Yeah, but it's well done. I mean, it is.
It's fun.
It's a fun movie.
I had a hard time getting into it, but once we got to the good stuff, I was into it.
I think the Friday the 13th remake is very much like this, but better.
But so much
better.
To
be honest. Just that story-wise, just it's better.
A plus.
Yeah. This one just needed a little more. A little more. Just a little bit. But I'm interested to watch the sequels because I heard that the sequels are better. Or at least the second one's better. Yeah, I would. I'm interested to watch the sequels. I would go back to watch more of this. It was good enough to entice me there. But is it something special? No, but if you like old school slashers, it just goes along with all of that. You know? It's an enjoyable experience anyway. Not an awesome experience, but an enjoyable one for a horror fan.
I agree.
Okay. Let's move on to The Babysitter then, because I am stoked to talk about The Babysitter.
Let's do it.
Okay. So,
intro that shit.
Thanks, Carly. I will. I'm stoked now. Thanks for hyping me up. The Babysitter from 2017. It's directed by McGee, I guess. That's a name. Who directed Terminator Salvation and Charlie's Angels, in case you're a fan of those films. It's written by Taryn R. Parsons, who wrote Insurgent. The IMDb summary is, the events of one evening take an unexpected turn for the worse when a young boy tries to spy on his babysitter. So this movie is new, just came out recently, last month. Friday the 13th it came out. Netflix exclusive.
They fucking nailed it.
Brand spanking new. This movie is so much fun. I really enjoy it.
I love this movie. And I really like... So, McGee is like primarily a producer. He's done so many of our favorite shows, like Supernatural, The OC, Chuck.
Right.
A million things.
Yes.
But he also, like, I think he started out directing music videos. And you can very much tell, I feel like... watching this movie, like, all of the colors are very bright and vibrant. Like, I think his eye was, like, perfectly suited for this project because
I agree.
It looks so fun and phenomenal.
It does. It's very fun. It looks fun. It is fun.
Yeah.
I agree. I think he was a good choice. There's fun music. There's bright colors. There's mm-hmm. all that you mentioned is really apparent when you're watching this. It really comes through almost immediately that you're going to be in for a good time when you start this film.
Yes.
So we have Cole, who's 12 years old.
Adorable.
He is adorable.
Oh my gosh.
He is really adorable. He's 12 years old, which he looks a little older than 12 to me for a boy, but that's fine. And his friend Melanie, and they're the cutest ever. They're so cute.
So fucking cute.
Cole is kind of dorky, which I don't really buy. He's got kind of like a She's All That thing happening where he's wearing glasses, which makes him look dorky, but you can tell he's not really dorky looking at all in real life.
I just love his glasses.
Yeah, so they kind of dress him a little bit dorky and they give him glasses, but really he's adorable.
I think he's so cute.
He's really cute. And we have...
That's just what we're going to talk about for the next 20
minutes. He's so cute.
He's just so adorable. Love that Cole.
You know, and he gets teased, he gets made fun of. He's afraid of shots, he's afraid of bugs, he's afraid of basically everything.
Yeah.
He seems very timid in most aspects of his life. But, you know...
You and me both, Cole.
I think
he's my spirit animal.
What I do like about this movie, and surprisingly, I've heard some people complain about this, that he's too old to have a babysitter. Why does he have a babysitter? It's not believable that he has a babysitter. Well, yeah, it is. First of all, his parents are gone overnight. It's not like it's a couple hours. Also, he's afraid of everything. If you're afraid, you don't want to be alone. You don't want to be by yourself. And also, he's 12 and his babysitter's hot. Yes, all of it's believable. I 100% believe that he has a babysitter.
That was never my complaint.
No. But I have heard other people complain that he's just way too old, which I don't think so. My parents would never leave me alone overnight when I was 12.
No.
No way.
No.
No way. I don't even think they did that till I was like 16 or 17. And even then, it was like.
Even if they just have someone like stay in the house.
Sure. Sure. And they had he had a cute relationship with his babysitter. They hung out, you know, why stop that relationship if you're comfortable with it? And then we have B, who is his babysitter, who is fantastic. She's gorgeous.
She's great.
She's smart. She's badass. She knows about science fiction and movies and music and dancing. She's the most fun babysitter ever.
She's super fun.
She is so their little babysitting montage is adorable. Yes. They have a cute little like ET finger touch handshake thing they do when they say bye to each other. It's just the cutest. They play movies in the backyard on the projector and play them out. It's adorable. It's really cute.
So adorable.
And
I want that relationship
with
my babysitter. I don't have a babysitter.
With
but...
anybody.
Same. I'm glad we agree.
Yeah, it's a great relationship. It's cute. But then it gets a little weird. She gives him a shot of whiskey? I don't know what that's supposed to be.
Me either.
Some sort of alcohol. He's too afraid to drink it because he's a wimp.
Because I love him.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I did that when I was younger.
Yeah, just like, oh, yeah, like, I'm totally going to drink this.
Totally drink it.
Pour it in the plant next to you. Yeah. And so she thinks that he's going to be passed out for the night. She spiked his drink with something, so he's passed out. But he wants to stay up all night and see what happens when he goes to sleep.
He wants to see the orgy.
He thinks there's going to be an orgy. He's not sure what an
orgy is.
Which
he doesn't know.
He has no idea what it is. Also very cute and believable. I love this. Now, the thing is, when I was 12, the internet was not what it is now. So if I didn't know what something was, I can't just type orgy in my phone and figure it out.
Exactly.
I have to just, I don't know, find an encyclopedia. Do you think? I don't remember doing that.
Orgy.
Did Encarta used to have orgy written there? Does anyone have an old copy of Encarta?
That's so funny.
So we can look up orgy.
Orgy.
No idea. The kid does not know what it is. He's so cute. He says Protestant instead of prostitute. It's adorable. This is what kids are like, and at least hopefully what they're still like today. I think to a point they still are. I mean,
I think so.
Yeah. There's innocence there. I think people forget that there's still innocence in this world. It still exists. Because I also heard people complaining that he would know these things. Okay, he doesn't. He doesn't. And it's not. And the toys on the floor, you know, he's 12. It's the weirdest age ever. It's the weirdest and worst age. Because it's like, you're kind of done being a kid, but you're not really a teenager. And you're not sure. Like, you're in this weird transition stage. It's like, and he's...
I feel like that was, like, the time of my life where I was like, why don't, like... I don't know if this is when I was 12, but I definitely remember it was between like 12 and 13 where I like realized that I didn't necessarily like play with my Barbies like I used to. And I was like, I feel like I should try this again. Like, where did this go? And like, it's you're right. It's like that weird age where you're like not really sure. Do I still play with my old things or am I moving into this, like,
exactly, and some of your friends might be further ahead than you are and already like interested in sex and whatever, hanging out, drinking, and then some of your friends are still playing Barbies and you're like, I don't know which way to go or where I fit into this right now. That puberty starts to hit, like, it's a weird fucking stage for everybody.
Who am I?
Yeah, it's a weird age. And I think because he looks a little bit older than 12 to me, that maybe that's what's confusing people. But that is one of the main complaints I've seen on the internet since it's come out, that he is too old for this role. Which I don't agree. If he's 12, then he's 12. And I agree that this is the age in which he would be acting this way and having these issues. But I can agree that he looks a little older than 12 to me. But it's also the weird age where girls are so much bigger than boys. So
yeah.
Girls go through puberty before guys do. So, like, when he's next to Melanie, you don't think they're the same age. I feel like he's older because he's bigger than her. I mean, maybe they made him older in real life just so there's not a weird height difference or something. But generally speaking, if you see 12-year-old girl and 12-year-old boy standing next to each other, the girl's always going to look older for the most part.
For the most part. I feel like that wasn't the case when I was little.
Well,
a tiny human.
I've always been short. But I did have a phase where I was like the tallest in my class in like fifth grade. I was like the tallest in my class. And then I stopped growing and everyone kept going.
You're like, see ya.
I was like 5 foot. I was like 5 foot at age like 11. And then I just stopped and everyone kept going.
That was it.
It was done. That's it.
Oh, that's so funny.
See what you get. Okay. So that term seems really good. Okay. So he's there. The babysitter's there. He goes to sleep. She tucks him in. She thinks he's passed out. And a bunch of friends come over. Seems like a normal thing. The babysitter has some friends over after the kids go to sleep. So we have all these, they're playing spin the bottle. There's like a bunch of really beautiful people and then one nerdy looking guy. And the nerdy
poor guy.
Yeah.
That poor guy. That poor son of a bitch.
Poor nerdy guy. His name? I don't know.
I don't remember it.
I wrote Jam. I don't think that's right.
That doesn't sound right.
It can't be Jam. But
doesn't
I wrote
sound right.
I wrote Jam. Maybe it's Sam? Jan? Sam. It's totally Sam, but my S looks like a J.
I'm like, nope. Not it.
Our nerdy
not
guy
right.
Jam. I'm just gonna call him Jam now. His name's Jam. Okay. Henceforth. For the next 5 seconds.
Good old Jam.
Oh, I love Jam. Poor Jam. So they're playing spin the bottle. B goes around and it's her turn. She has to kiss everybody. It's like a weird truth or dare spin the bottle. It's not like, it's like the bottle lands on you and then you have to do truth or dare. It's not, I don't know, it's weird. So then they say you have to kiss everyone in the circle. She goes around, she kisses everyone in the circle, gets to Jam and makes out with him, makes his day, and then shoves two knives in his head skull.
In his skull.
His head skull.
His head skull.
And when she takes them out.
See a Jam.
But where do those knives come from? because she is wearing zero clothes. I mean, she's wearing clothes, but like what? Like really cut off, like short shorts and like
quiet girl
a
from
tank top.
Quiet girl from Pitch Perfect just slitter the blades.
Okay, I mean, no one.
I don't know.
No one looked close enough to her to give her blades, but let's say that they did. And then she shoves them in the top of his head, so it looks like he's a bunny rabbit, except yep. they're knives. And then they take him out, and they're like, you know, they're getting blood from one side, and the other side isn't doing anything. It's a dud. And then it spurts all over.
Lots of blood.
Rapper guy.
Yeah.
I forget his name, but he's a musical person of some sort.
Musical fellow.
We come to find out that they are trying to make a deal with the devil to get what they want. So musical guy wants a platinum record, and cheerleader girl wants to be a journalist, and you know, they all want different things. I don't really know what Quiet Girl from Pitch Perfect wants to be. We didn't quite get to know our characters very easily. She's just kind of creepy.
That's just her role.
Yeah.
She's the creepy girl.
She is good at being creepy.
She is.
I do appreciate that about her. And it just kind of gets out of control from there, because Cole is now sees this and is freaked out. And then B says, well, let's go get the blood of the innocent, like he's the innocent. So go up to his room.
That little son of a bitch just faces his fears with the needles.
Well, he has no choice. He pretends to be passed out.
I don't think
out.
I would have been that manly. I don't like needles either, everyone. It's always a to-do.
Oh, see, I'm okay with it.
I have really tiny veins. And so if I ever need to get my blood drawn, I need to drink like a gallon of water before, so my veins are big enough for them to like find. Otherwise, they just stab me in the arm a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah. I get stabbed a bunch of times. It depends on who I get. Sometimes the person is awesome and they're really good at get it the first time, but usually it's like 3 or 4 tries. But
I like
not,
need to request the expert phlebotomist.
I'm totally fine with being stabbed a bunch of times with needles. I don't know why. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt me.
I hate it. It scares the shit out of me.
I have
just thinking about it.
A bunch of tattoos, though. Like, tattoos are way more painful than that, and I do that on purpose. So I don't know. They're always like, "Oh, you're so tough." I'm like, it doesn't hurt though. Maybe it hurts other people more than it hurts others, because I don't feel pain from that.
It's like been a thing ever since I was like little.
Maybe like, you're just like remember, afraid like, of it because you have been afraid of it for a long time.
Probably accurate.
Yeah. Because it's not actually painful. Getting stung by a bee is way more painful, and people laugh at me all the time for being afraid of bees. That shit hurts. Fuck that.
Ugh.
Anyway, sorry, tangent over.
Tangent.
Cole lets him, like, take his blood. They don't want to kill him, luckily. They just want a little bit of his blood, so they get a needle and they take his blood, and they leave. And then he tries to leave, but babysitter knows something's up and stays there, and he passes out. So, got Cole. Long story short, Cole ends up being a total badass.
Yeah, he does.
Accidentally kills the first guy going after him. Music guy. Rapper guy. That guy's kill was awesome. He falls off the stairs and gets like an award, like a glass award shoved in his head. That was cool.
There's some good murder in this.
There's some really good murder in this. All of the kills are very creative.
Yeah,
quiet.
And fun.
Yeah.
Like, if a kill can be fun, this movie nails it.
It does. If you think kills can be fun in movies, then this is your jam. Then we got Quiet Girl from Pitch Perfect. She gets exploded by Firecracker. Football dude accidentally hangs himself.
Yep. Bella Thorne gets shot in the boob.
She gets shot in the
boob. And then what happens?
And then shot in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah. She gets shot a couple times.
She's very distraught when she gets shot in the boob.
I thought that was a little bit too much, but all of this movie's a little over the top, so.
Yes.
Gotta kind of let it go, but yeah, she gets shot in the boob by a cop, and she's, no one's gonna want to motorboat me, which, no girl would ever say that. Like, that would never, if I got shot in the boob, that would not be my first complaint.
My first concern.
No one's gonna motorboat me? That's not my concern. Also, it's the left side of her chest. Isn't your heart on the left side of your chest?
That's totally
wouldn't you be
also.
More worried that the bullet is near your heart?
Yeah, that's totally what I was thinking too.
But no, she's just very concerned about her breasts. No one's gonna want to motorboat me. No one's gonna want to lick my nipples. not things that girls really think about.
When they're shot in the boob.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that that'd be your main concern, especially because she wants to be, like, a journalist, not, like, a model or something.
Right.
Just strange choice, but, you know, men writers, men directors, shit's gonna happen. That doesn't make sense sometimes.
It's true.
That was the least enjoyable part of it for me, but it's so minor. Who cares? And then, you know, there's a lot of good killing, a lot of fun. Although I will say when I watched this the first time, I did not know anything about it. I didn't watch a trailer. I didn't hear anything about it.
Same.
And I prefer it that way. If I knew what was going to happen, I don't know if it would have been as fun for me. Because I wasn't, I thought B might be bad, but I didn't. You don't feel it at all for the first part of this movie. You love her. She's amazing.
Yeah.
She's like, you want to be her. She's awesome. But then, you know, shit's got to happen. But I like how I didn't know what was going to happen. Or even if she was going to be bad. That was kind of fun for me. But it's probably still really enjoyable knowing stuff about this movie. I heard the guys on Modern Horror say, no, it doesn't, you can't spoil it, which is kind of true, but I think going and knowing less is actually better.
I agree. I mean, that's how I usually prefer to go in.
Probably should have said this before we talked about the movie, but.
Well, spoiler heavy podcast,
that's true,
guys.
That's true.
I don't feel bad for you. I really love this movie.
I've seen it twice and I would totally watch it again. It's just a good time.
It really, really is.
Yeah. The characters are really fun. It's just a good time. It's light. It's funny. It's silly.
It's a super fun horror movie.
Yeah. The characters are over the top and goofy and stereotypical,
way.
It makes fun of itself.
Yeah. I think when you do it right, and you bring in that comedy, like, I love that stereotypical, like, formula.
Yeah.
In, like, especially in a comedic horror movie. I think it can be super fun if you do it right.
Agreed. I think they hit it. They got it. They did a good job. Super fun. I don't know. I can't say much more about it. There is, like, a little comic things that just, like, why is he shirtless? Cole wakes up and
that's
the football
player
is totally shirtless for no reason. He's just like, why is he shirtless? First thing he says.
Okay, guys, like, that is your first comment? That's your first question?
No, but why? It's it, like, doesn't make really? Any sense.
Yeah.
Oh, just a really good time.
I'm telling you, Cole is my spirit animal.
Okay, so let's move on. We have, so in The Babysitter, there was a fun moment between the babysitter and Cole where he asks her what her intergalactic dream team would be. Group of five people. So I thought it would be fun if we had you guys do that. So that brings us to our newest segment, which we call
Social Media Question of the Week.
And this week's question is, you need to gather five characters and or real people to fight intergalactic evil. Who would be on your dream team?
On Twitter, we have Test Pattern Show with Bigfoot, Invisible Man, Wolverine, Nikola Tesla, Julia Child. We dare evil to come at us with our crew.
I love Nikola Tesla and Julia Child's being.
Julia Child. So solid.
So solid. Brilliant. Fuck, I don't want to fight Julia Child.
She'd come at you with that rolling pin.
I know, right? At Finn Horror says, Sun Tzu, Genghis Khan, 3 and 4 would be 2 xenomorphs, and also Chris Pratt. He'll train the xenomorphs and distract evil with his dance moves.
Yes.
I didn't know Chris Pratt was able to train xenomorphs. Is there a film that I'm not aware of in which he trains xenomorphs?
He can train velociraptors. He can train xenomorphs.
All right. I mean, are they equals? I'm just going to let it go. I'm not sold on that, though.
This is his team. He can do what he wants.
Yeah.
We have Eddie Foot with Sean and Joe from The Horror Show, Amy, Carly, and Slasher Trash, Team Kick-Ass Whooping Intergalactic Booty.
We're dying. There's no way we're surviving anything.
I don't know. I think that I'd be able to pull my weight.
Oh, yeah? With what?
Yeah. With my brain knowledge.
With your brain knowledge? I'm
dead.
And my craftiness. I mean, the world is dead. If we're... I mean, I don't know much about slasher trash. Amy. Maybe slasher trash can carry us all, but I don't know.
You don't have any faith in Sean and Joe?
I mean, no, I have zero faith in them. I love them dearly, but they're not going to do shit. They're just going to make fun of everything happening. They're not going to be able to help anybody. And I'm just going to
combined, I believe.
I'm just going to cry in the corner and wet myself probably. But I'll be like, "Ah, it's a xenomorph. I know the names of things. That's all I can help you with."
Oh, man.
At Boss Captain Ross says, Commander Shepard from Mass Effect, The Terminator, Thor, Alice from Resident Evil, and Batman. Batman, though? How do you feel about the choice of Batman, Carly?
He's got a lot of money.
I know,
gadgets.
I guess that's helped me. I guess the gadgets could be helpful. But it's more like I want Batman's gadgets and not Batman so much. I guess it's a package deal.
Yeah.
All right.
Plus, with Batman, you get Alfred, so.
Do you get Alfred, too? Because he counts as another person.
But,
You don't think Alfred's a person? Carly,
I absolutely believe that. I know he is a person, but I mean, like, I just feel like they would just be hand in hand.
All right.
Oh, it's my turn.
Yes, it is.
Robert Bob 360 says, One Punch Man, Ash from Evil Dead, The Hulk, Freddy Krueger, and Cthulhu.
I mean, I could see that. I'm going to be honest. That's I don't know strong. Who One Punch Man is, but the rest of them are solid choices.
I feel like, yeah, that's super solid.
Yeah. At V and a bunch of threes says, Yondu uses deadly arrows. Rocket Raccoon has a big-ass gun. Baby Groot for laughs and entertainment. Hulk likes to smash. And Thor, God of Thunder. It's pretty solid. He's got got a lot of Guardians of the Galaxy's guys in there.
Yeah.
Basically, Guardians of the Galaxy plus Hulk and Thor. Not a bad choice, really.
Yondu's solid.
Yeah, Yondu is
Mary
solid.
Mary Poppins, yo.
Sweet, sweet arrow whistling.
Oh, it's my turn again.
Yeah. It is. Look alive, Carly.
I'm paying attention. Guys, on Instagram, we have Kung Fu Dracula with, I take 11, Bruce the Shark with a freaking laser on his back and a saddle for 11, Mac McCready, Buckaroo Banzai, and Ash Williams.
Who's Buckaroo Banzai? Am I stupid?
No.
I don't know who that is. Is that like a... It's probably a comic book character, huh?
The rest
of those I love. 11 is a really smart choice. I didn't even think of her. I don't know how I didn't think of her, but I didn't. Are you looking up Buckaroo Banzai?
Yes. It's a movie. I've never seen this.
Oh. Do we need to check out Buckaroo Banzai?
It's a 1984 cult film.
That sounds like something that we need to watch.
Buckaroo Banzai is the lead character played by Peter Weller. Of the 1984 cult film.
All right, Kung Fu Dracula, you stumped us. Yeah. We're watching Buckaroo Banzai.
Yep.
Okay, Black Cat Horror Memes says, Ripley, the Predator, Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger, and Jason Voorhees. As far as Freddy and Jason go, gotta keep them separated. Which I don't know that you can. This is a very dangerous group. There's going to be a lot of conflict.
But actually, two of these are on my list.
Really?
Yeah.
Only one's on mine. I
know which one is on yours.
I know you know which one's on mine. I feel like there'd be a lot of conflict. I mean, these are all really strong characters. There's not a lot of... I mean, I guess Predator could fly a ship, you know, and Ripley could probably fly a ship. But everyone else is just going to fight. Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger, and Jason, there's no way they're going to get along. It's going to be hard to I feel like when you do this, you have to have someone who's going to be able to unite everybody. I feel like that's a very important portion of this. Okay, it's your turn again, Carly.
Oh gosh, I'm like so invested. on Facebook, we have Anthony with Neil deGrasse Tyson, Stephen Hawking, Iron Man, Thor, and Jason X.
See, that's,
specifically.
That's a good, solid list, although Stephen Hawking's going to be difficult to carry around.
He stays in the command center.
Is he flying? He's.
I like that I'm just assuming all of these
he's
tactics.
Flying the command center with his mouth. He's got a special command center where he can control it with his mouth.
Exactly. The science has been figured out.
Okay. All right. I like the Jason X, like specifically Jason X. We want Kane Hodder in there, not some old school flimsy Jason boy holding the knife the wrong way. We need an experienced Jason in there. Like it. Also, he's from space, so he understands space.
Yeah. Very important.
I like that. Justin from Horror Business says, Ripley, Sarah Connor from Terminator 2 specifically, Frank Grillo's character from the second Purge film, Kyle Reese from the first Terminator, in parentheses, it says, Eat Shit, Jai Courtney, and Oliver Queen. I'm going to be honest, I don't know who all these people are. I'm down with Ripley and Sarah Connor. I never saw the Purge.
I like the specificity of Sarah Connor from Terminator 2.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Because you need, that's the best
Who's
one.
Who's Oliver Queen? Do I suck? Who is that?
I'm going
to
Google
Carly,
it.
You have to look it up for me. I need to look up all of your guys' stuffs. You guys are too smart for me. I don't know who all these people are.
Oh, why didn't I know that?
Who's Oliver Queen?
From The Arrow.
Oh, I never saw that show.
The Green Arrow.
Okay. Is that the TV show? Or is it a comic book? Or both?
Both.
Both. Okay.
Both. Tommy B says, Kal-El. Oh, God, I'm going to fuck this up so hard. Raislin? Majeri? Is that right?
Sure.
Buttercup, Utonium, Carol Danvers, and Conan. Fuck.
The Sumerian.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I only know
who. Sumerian?
Well, Buttercup is from Powerpuff Girls. That I know for sure. Isn't Kal-El Superman or something?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why you couldn't just say Superman. Damn it, Tommy B. Just. And I assume everyone else is comic book, and I don't know about comic books. But I.
Well, yeah.
I appreciate. So I agree, Buttercup is a good choice. And Superman is also a fantastic choice because he comes from outer space. And dude can just fly alongside your ship. You don't even have to have space for him.
Raislin Majeri is from Dragonlance.
Okay. I'm assuming Carol Danvers is some sort of superhero woman. And don't know who Conan the Sumerian is.
Yeah, who's that?
I don't know. You have to look it all up, Carly. Tommy B is loves stumping us with his far superior nerd knowledge.
I gotta Google it. I gotta know.
I'm editing this to make it sound much shorter, but guaranteed we are spending much longer on this in real life to figure out who all these people are.
So Carol Danvers is Captain Marvel.
Okay. So, yes, superhero.
And then Conan.
Is it the same as Conan the Barbarian? Oh.
Yeah.
You just wanted to fuck us up by calling it something else?
Yeah, I just wanted to use his fancy name.
Damn it, Tommy B. Damn it. We just wasted so much time. You could have just said real names of things.
We can just edit it down.
Oh my God. I'm mad at you.
Well, I mean, it makes sense that he would just be so close with these people that he'd call them by their proper names because they're going to be on his team.
That's true.
So... He's not going to be like, hey, Superman. He's going to be like, hey, Cal.
Hey, Cal.
Hey, Cal.
What's up, Cal?
Yeah, he's not going to be like, you know.
Superman.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's weird. That's true. I agree. Sam S. says, Raiden, Christopher Lambert, because there can only be one.
Accurate.
Mystique, Dr. Manhattan, Ganesius, and Ash. I don't know who Ganesius is.
So the real important question is Dr. Manhattan going to be wearing pants?
Does Dr. Manhattan not always wear pants? Is that a concern that we need to have?
He does not always wear pants. And it's, Have you ever seen the comic
book? No, of course I haven't. But Mystique also doesn't wear pants.
His blue penis is just everywhere.
Well, Mystique is also blue and doesn't wear pants. So,
but she also doesn't, she's got like, I don't know, she's not just like hanging out.
Well, you don't know that.
Dr. Manhattan is legitimately hanging out.
Oh, got you. Because she has, you know, internal organs that are protected by her by her blueness.
Exactly.
Dr. Manhattan, well, maybe we can make sure he has pants.
I mean, it's up to preference.
I mean, I wouldn't want to fight evil with no pants. You need some sort of protectant. You don't want things just flopping around.
That's true.
Especially Ash. He's got a fucking chainsaw hand. You never know if he could accidentally slip.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
Okay, we have Rachelle who says, wow, so easy. The Power Rangers.
Dang, girl.
All right, that's like, I mean, you're putting a lot of faith in all the Power Rangers. They don't really have superpowers, do they? I mean, they're basically just fighters.
But they can turn into that super huge
thing.
That's
true, but that takes a lot of time. I don't know that I can agree that they would be good to protect the Earth, but I don't know that they'd be good to protect the universe. Seems like they need to have some sort of superpower in there to really cement it. Just saying.
I think you're right. And so we end with Nick B, who says Doctor Strange, John Wick, Alice from Resident Evil, Mina Harker, and Mario.
All right. I don't know who Mina Harker is. Again, stumped by everyone's superior comic book knowledge.
Whenever, are we talking about like Mario, like Super Mario?
I would think so.
Whenever I think about that, you've seen the movie, right?
Yes, a long time ago.
When it's like, my name's Luigi Mario, because they're the Mario brothers. And it's like, so what's your name? He's Mario Mario. And I'm Luigi Mario. So funny. Sorry.
It's fine.
I think Mina Harker, Mina's from Dracula, right?
Oh, Mina? Yeah. Nope, you're right. Yep, you're right. You're a genius.
I know some things in this noggin.
You do know some things in the noggin. Okay, Carly, so who's on your intergalactic dream team?
Okay, so I have Ripley.
Okay.
I have Predator.
Okay.
I have Thor.
Okay.
But like first movie Thor.
Okay. He's a god, so that's a smart choice.
Yeah. I have 11. I did have 11 because I just watched Stranger Things.
Smart.
And I think I only chose 4.
You have to choose 5, Carly. You can never. Are you included in this, maybe?
I think that's what I was doing.
Including yourself?
Yeah. Do we have to choose another?
Well, I specifically said 5.
All right. Well, I'm going to steal Sarah Connor from T2.
Okay. That's fair. Ready for mine? I have all female power team.
I think I have all female except for Thor.
Okay, so to
except
rule,
for Babely Thor.
To rule the team, keep everyone united and happy, because you need to have that. I have Daenerys from Game of Thrones.
Nice.
She also comes with dragons. Not my problem. They just go with her. So I happen to get some dragons with me. And then to keep her grounded, because sometimes Daenerys gets a little crazy, I have Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Because she's going to really...
I support
you. She's really going to help keep Daenerys grounded and know the rules and what she should actually be doing. Okay, and then I need Mystique. Because Mystique is going to help me get in, sneak in places that are hard to get into. Because she can look like anything, right? She's just going to, like, help me get in.
I like it.
And then to fight, I need Ripley. Because she has knowledge and she also has a flamethrower. She can kick some ass.
Yes.
And then, of course,
yes.
Buffy. Because she can beat anybody up.
Fuck yes.
Dream team.
I love it.
Thank you.
That is a dream team.
High five. We did a digital high five. You guys couldn't enjoy
we
it.
Did.
It was really good.
It was great.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, do you want to talk a little bit about what's going on with us? Do you have anything you want to throw in there?
So this past week, I guess, was Halloween.
You guess?
I don't guess. It was. Fact. I went to Universal Horror Nights.
Yeah.
It was a blasty blast.
What was your favorite maze?
My favorite maze was probably the Titans of Terror.
Ooh, what was that like?
Maze. So Titans of Terror was Freddy, Jason.
Nice.
Michael Myers.
Is that a question?
And no, fact.
Okay.
Well, because they also had the Terror Tram, which was, like, the Titans of Terror, and it was, like, driven by Chucky.
Okay.
But so Titans of Terror was, like, you basically, like, visited each of their towns.
Okay.
Like, so you would walk through the maze.
Nice.
And, like, at the end, it just got crazy where, like, it would just be Freddy jumping out at you and then Jason jumping out at you. And it was just wonderful and amazing. And then they also had Blumhouse Maze. Where with it was just like Insidious, I think.
Nice.
Sinister.
Okay.
And Happy Death Day.
Okay.
The Happy Death Day one was clever. I haven't seen the movie, so I can't tell you either way. Yeah. But you would like keep on walking through like the same like situation, kind of, but like with different like follow ups to them.
Cool.
So it was kind of clever. Yeah, nice. That was clever. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I will actually say that I think Not Scary Farm, because I went there on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Actually, their mazes they've got better haunts.
Yeah.
I will say, which I was kind of surprised about. I'd never been to Not Scary Farm.
Is the production value of Not Scary Farm up to par with Universal, though? Was it more like Universal was better production and Knott's Berry Farm was scarier? Or would you say they're, like, both awesome?
Their production, Knott's Scary Farm's production was awesome. Nice. And apparently, I didn't realize that they originated that kind of, like, the maze thing.
Oh.
But apparently they did. And, yeah, their mazes were super original. And even their scares for, like, when you're walking through the park were, like, way more committed also than the Universal ones were.
Interesting.
So Universal was super fun because it was just, like, all characters that you recognize. Sure. And the Shining maze was fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm going to say that, like, Not Scary Farm, definitely worth it because that was, like, super fun.
Wow. I'm just jealous. Yeah. That was my one goal this year and I fucking failed. So I'm really going to have to just try again next year.
We're going
to
do
it. We're really going to have to. I'm really jealous. We'll try
it. It's going
to
be a thing that we plan for sure.
You know, I've always wanted to try Not Scary Farm, but like I don't know that my little heart can handle that many jump scares. Because don't they just constantly try and scare you the whole time?
Yes, but we drank. Okay, so like my boyfriend was very nervous about that also.
Okay.
We drank a lot of wine.
Okay.
And it almost made you immune to it, but still you had a great time.
Yeah.
So, God bless you, Leia. So, we can do that.
Yeah.
We'll just drink a lot of wine. Okay. And it'll be fine. And, like, as long as you're, like, holding wine, I feel like the scares are a little bit more gentler with you.
Yeah, because they don't want you to spill.
Exactly.
Wait, can you walk around Not Scary Farm with wine?
Sure can.
Oh, my God, we have to go. Why didn't you tell me that sooner?
I didn't know. I've never been.
Oh, my gosh. That is a...
Girl, it was a blast.
Really awesome.
And we made friends with this guy, Laddie, who was super awesome and took our picture in front of the fireplace and gave us this, like, the last of the what was it? Huckleberry beer or something like
fancy.
That. It was fun.
Sounds great.
It was a great time.
It sounds great.
I also binge watched Stranger Things.
Atta girl. I figure our November Patreon video live stream we do with you guys, I feel like that will probably be on Stranger Things. What do you think of that idea, Carly?
Then I won't share my thoughts.
Yeah, let's reel that back.
Because I have them.
I think that's a fun thing. Most of our listeners watch Stranger Things. I think that'll be a fun discussion for us all to have. So let's hold off on that.
Table it.
I started watching Stranger Things last night because I had family in town, so I didn't really have a lot of chance to watch stuff. But we got to episode 3 yesterday, which was really fun. Enjoying it so far. So no spoilers online. Shh. Don't fuck with me. Just kidding.
Yeah.
We also had, for Halloween night, we didn't really do a lot, but we did set up some fun things. I got, like, a little skeleton to hang, and we had, like, flashing lights, and we just passed out Halloween candy. I watched Hocus Pocus, and then my dad and husband really wanted to watch the baseball series, World Series thing, whatever that is.
That little game
people like. We watched that. And then passed out candy. I dressed up like a witch and scared children.
You looked great.
Thank you.
By the way.
I told a young boy I was going to cast a spell on him. I got really mad at some teenagers who did not dress up. I'm pretty sure there were some adults that came trick-or-treating. Did not care. They were dressed up fantastically. But my rule is you need to be dressed up as much or more than I am dressed up. Because I am not the one asking for candy.
I think that's fair.
I will give you candy, but I will give you the crappiest candy I have, and I will give you one piece if you are wearing a shitty costume. So I'm kind of an asshole. I'm surprised I didn't get egged. I totally would have deserved it.
I think that your requests of the trick-or-treaters is legitimate.
Yeah, there was a...
I don't want no half-ass. I said, like, I'm giving you candy.
Better do better next year. This is bullshit. Especially if they're a teenager, no problem saying this is bullshit.
Yeah.
There was a boy who came dressed up all in black, and he had, like, a... He wasn't wearing a mask or anything. He was just wearing, like, a black sweatsuit. And I was like... What are you? What are you supposed to be? What costume is this? And he's like, oh, I'm the guy from Scream. And he holds up a Scream mask. And I was like, that's fair, but you need to put on your mask if you want candy. He like held it up and I put candy in his thing and then he took it down. I was like, this is some bullshit.
You were like, don't pull this shit next year. I'm watching for you, Billy.
Yeah, but I will say I had my favorite costume. I had two favorite costumes, a boy and a girl. The girl's costume was, she was, I said, oh, are you a zombie princess? Because she was dressed like a Disney princess. I don't know which one, but she had all the zombie makeup on. It made me so happy. I was like, oh, are you a zombie princess? She's like, I'm a zombie queen. And I was like, yes.
Yes.
You get like a handful of candy because you're awesome. Yes. And then I had, she was really young too. She's like 8 or something. It's awesome. And then there was this boy who came up and he had all these like fake muscles and he had one of those like, you know, those giant protein powder containers.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was his trick or treat bag.
That's phenomenal. So,
like, he came and he like unscrewed his like muscle milk and like held it out. It was amazing. It made me so happy. I gave him a bunch of candy too.
That's the best.
Those were my winners. I always, you know. Like to talk about my favorites.
We went over to Jason's house because we all of us went to Universal. Mm-hmm. And he got like had one set of trick-or-treaters. Right. And so he was giving out like candy and he was like, okay, you know, here's for you. And like this one girl came up and he gave like he pulled this like fake severed ear out of the thing and just put that in the bag.
Oh my God.
And she was like, thanks. And she walks away. He's like, no, wait, where are you going? That was a joke. I was like, here's some more candy.
She didn't get the joke.
She was like, I'm so unimpressed by this severed ear that you just gave me.
Yeah, the kids did not have the sense of humor I was hoping for. Because no. I had this mummy head that you have to put your hand in. And with like the really little kids, when they put their hand in, I'd be like, chomp, 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 like joking that it was going to eat their hand. And the kids would just be like, what are you doing? Like...
You're like, are you that desensitized that you hate fun?
I'm just trying to have fun. What are you, boring? Come on, you're like 3. How is that not hilarious to you?
They're like, come on, lady, just give me my candy. Exactly.
Enough of this fun and game shit. Came here for candy, damn it.
I'm working hard, okay? Goodness.
All right, can we close out? Let's close out.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, wait, I had a really very important thing I wanted to say about the babysitter that I forgot to, so I just need to throw it in right now.
Okay.
You know, do you ever see The Fault in Our Stars with Shailene Woodley?
And Ansel Elgort?
Yeah. Is that her name? Shailene Woodley. Shailene Woodley. You know how she looks in that movie?
Yeah.
Cole, at the end of this movie, looks just like her.
I can see it.
Exactly like her. I'm going to have to do a side-by-side picture and post it. Because they are twins. I was like, why is Shailene Woodley all of a sudden in this movie?
That's amazing.
Twins.
They couldn't get him for the last scene, so they threw her in there.
Fucking twins. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, let's close out. Thanks to Troy from Cave Bastard for our song Sequencing the Drone and Jason Link for our amazing logo. Visit FinalGirlsHorrorCast.com for more information on them, to listen to any of all of our episodes. To listen to any and all of our episodes, to visit our shop, or to find our Patreon page. We still have a lot of stickers to give away. If you are interested in getting some stickers, go email us, finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com. Send us your address. I need your address to send them to you, and then we will send them to you. I have a couple that I have to send out this week. Sorry if you're waiting on them. They're a little bit delayed, but I'll get them out ASAP for you.
You're the best.
Thanks.
Final Girls Horrorcast is part of the Modern Horrors Podcast Network. This week's episode is sponsored by Elizabeth, Mikey H, Nick B, Jonathan W,
Black Cat, Miss Tab, and the OT Gourmet Geek. Final Girls Horrorcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TunedIn, and pretty much anywhere else that you can stream a podcast. We are also very active on social media, so please interact with us. You can find us on Twitter at Final Girls HC and Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Final Girls Horrorcast. We also invite you to join our Final Girls discussion group on Facebook. You can find the link on our Facebook homepage.
Awesome. And then next week, you guys, very special treat for you. We are going to be doing another Let's Make a Monster episode. Some of our listeners might not even know what Let's Make a Monster is because it's been so long since we've done one. And basically all they are is I bring one of my non-horror movie loving friends in. We talk to them. We watch a movie. We talk to them after about how they felt about the movie. This next week, I'm going to be bringing in my friend Tali, who hates horror movies. But last time she was on Let's Make a Monster, we made her watch Creep, and she loved it. That she asked to come back on to watch Creep 2. She actually wanted to watch Creep 2.
Which is awesome. So we're going to... That's what our goal is with Let's Make a
Monster. Exactly. And Creep 2 is on Netflix. I encourage you all to watch it. If you have not seen the first Creep, watch that first, then watch Creep 2. They're both amazing. I highly recommend both of them.
Samesies.
All right. But until then, I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Bye. Bye.